Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. This is a second lesson on the subject of the character of an Old Testament person named Daniel. And we're studying about him because we can learn so much from him that ought to characterize our own lives, dear friend. The things that were written aforetime were, after all, written for our learning, Paul said, Romans 15:4. And we learn these things about Daniel not just to exalt Daniel, not just to be informed about a person who lived many years ago. We learn principles in dealing with God and our association with others, that we can follow God acceptably by looking at those things that God approved in time past. Now, Daniel was in captivity. He was a Babylonian captive. The people of Judah had been taken to Babylon, and they were now in service to the people of Babylon, to the king Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel had been selected, along with some others, for special training by the Babylonians so that they could be of some use to the government of the Babylonians. They had certain qualities about them that were observable. They were recognized to be special young men. They had great potential. There was great promise in these. And so they were trained in the language of the Babylonians, trained in their customs, but also they were given their certain Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. But also they were given a certain diet to eat. Now, why would this be a problem to Daniel? Well, this was because he, being a Jew, was to follow the law of Moses. And the law of Moses forbade the Jews to eat certain foods. And the foods that the Babylonians were placing before these young Jewish lads was that which would, if they ate of it, would defile them. And therefore they had to make a decision. Shall we disobey the king, or shall we obey the law of the Lord? Now there were many pressures upon them to do that which would be a conformity to the Babylonian instruction. They could have reasoned out a lot of different excuses as to why they couldn't do otherwise but just go along with what they were commanded to do. It looked like just about everybody else was doing that. Why should I be different? But we see something about Daniel that was different from all the others, he and his friends at least. Daniel, though a young man, he showed himself to be a true servant of God. Daniel's greatness is seen here in the first chapter of Daniel and in verse 8. It says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank." Notice, this was a matter of conviction with Daniel. This was a matter of his heart. He purposed in his heart he would obey God rather than disobey God. This was what he was determined to do. You see, Daniel made up his mind. He would do that which was right before God, even in difficult conditions and circumstances. It wasn't going to be a matter of this way or that way with Daniel. He had already determined, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do." Now, I have already said that God had determined by his law what was right and what was wrong for them to eat. But Daniel had to determine, will I do what is right by obeying God, or will I do what is wrong to go along with the Babylonians? Well, he decided, even though the situation was present upon him that was certainly not in his favor, he would do the will of God. Friend, here is an example of godly manhood. Here is an example of spiritual strength. Regardless of what losses may come upon him, regardless of what it might cost others round about him, whatever be the consequences to him. With him, thy will be done. Well, wherever you learn about that? Was not that the attitude of Jesus Christ when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? When he was facing that awesome cross, and he prayed that, if possible, let this cup pass from me. But what did he say? Thy will be done. There's the greatness of Daniel. Daniel was determined not to waver from the will of God. Friend, it was God first, last, and always with Daniel in the decisions that he made about his life. Let me ask, how is it with you? How is it with me? Do we have this same disposition? Thy will be done. Oh, yes, there was a cost to be paid. And he counted the cost. No doubt he thought about what the consequences of disobedience to the Babylonians might be. But you see, he counted the cost not to decide whether he would obey God or not. He already decided, I'm going to obey God. He counted the cost simply to determine what is it that he had to do. I've used this illustration before in some previous lessons. Let's suppose here are two people who go into the showroom of an automobile place. One man has already decided he's going to buy the car. Regardless of the cost, he's going to buy the car. And another man comes in, and he looks at the car, and he wants to know the cost because he hasn't decided what he's going to do yet. The cost might be more than he's willing to pay, and if it is, he's not going to buy the car. What a difference! Both of them weighed the cost, but one of them had already decided, regardless of the cost, this is what I'm going to do. And that's the decision that Daniel had made. Now, I'm made to wonder where Daniel had learned to take such a righteous stand as that. We were not specifically told. We know, however, that he must have learned it, and he was only following the will of the Lord that had been taught him. He wasn't born into this world with that determination. He had to be instructed, he had to be taught, he had to be committed, he had to learn it, and he had to decide that's the way he would go. Now, the Jews, of course, were to teach their children the law of the Lord. Well, somebody had taught Daniel, and they had done a splendid job with Daniel. We know he could not have learned it by being indulged in sin. He wouldn't have learned to have this kind of disposition by giving in to the folly of his earlier days. He would not have learned to have been this way if he'd been allowed to simply do his own thing and go his own way and make his own decisions when he didn't understand how and why to make righteous decisions. Nor could he have learned this then by following the counsels of the world and by being taught to just conform and go along with what others do, regardless of what it is. He wouldn't have taken this stand if he was anxious to get ahead in whatever the cost might be to the truth. You see, the Jews, having taught their young, they were supposed to follow the will of the Lord. Whoever it was that taught Daniel, Daniel learned it well, and Daniel's teacher was most successful in instructing this young man. I say to you, dear listener, we sin against our children, and we fail them if we do not teach them to have the same kind of strength. And let us not take lightly the statements of verses 9 and 17 and 19 and 20 in this first chapter of Daniel, where God promised blessings and provisions to those who obeyed him. Where do we ever get the idea that God is not aware of his own people? Where do we get the idea that God fails to provide for them? You see, when people do that which is wrong, yes, God knows about it. But don't you understand, when people do that which is right, God knows about that too. And when they decide the righteous path, God supports them in it. We see it in the life of Daniel. We see it in the promises of Christ, like in the Sermon on the Mount, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We have even experienced it in our own lives, have we not? When Daniel made the decision first to follow the will of the Lord, then God acted on his behalf. Provisions were made to enable Daniel to remain faithful. But notice, he made his decision first, then came the blessings of God. Now, there are certain lessons that we must draw from this entire account. It's always right to do right. It's always wrong to do wrong. It's never right to do wrong. It's never wrong to do right. And ultimately, we never lose anything of lasting value when we do right and stand up on the side of God's truth. Regardless of what it costs us, we're always more blessed than the losses that we suffer. We learn that God will provide for those who stand up for his way. It is never to our advantage to yield to temptation and the pressures to do wrong. Regardless of the consequences, right doing is better than wrongdoing, friend. In the days of liberalism and modernism and all the various isms within and without the family of God, when we are faced with the theories of evolution and humanism and we see a morality all around about, the confusion in religion, the attacks upon the Bible and the church, when we see the heathen raging on every hand, we must learn to take a stand and develop the same spiritual backbone that Daniel possessed and displayed. You see, God has not promised sky is always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, and peace without pain. God has not promised we shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the laborer, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing sympathy, and undying love. Oh, how wonderful it is for each of us if we would develop the same noble virtue exhibited by Daniel and his friends on this occasion. Would we not be better servants of God in heaven? And would we not make this world a better place? If we would determine, as Daniel did, we will obey God. We will uphold God's way, regardless of that which goes on round about us, regardless of the consequences that come upon us, and those consequences may at times be difficult for us to bear. We will always decide, as did this young man, when he proved himself to be so spiritually strong, thy will be done, and we will obey God rather than man. Friend, we'll look forward to other lessons upon other characters of the Bible. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.